Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Although you see no water for miles around, you are nonetheless marooned, stranded in a nightmare your people call Barovia. While I am able to travel easily between the plains, you cannot, and as such, you find Baron von Strahd your jailer. There is no escape unless I, a Gogash the Mighty, can defeat him.
The Baron and the Baroness stare at you with a steely, cold gaze.
I will let you leave here, and I will tell you how to stop this invasion. But I ask for one more thing.
What is the one thing?
Lady Watcher must die.
How about this, Baron? We saved some of your people. Why don't you give us one of our people, and then you tell us how to do your job of saving your town, and we will do that, and then we will leave.
You see the Baron consider that for a moment, and he says,
I find this deal dissatisfactory. Perhaps instead, then, if you will not kill Lady Watcher, if you will not end Strahd's influence within my town...
I just don't think we have the time, and what town will be left if you keep bargaining with us?
I don't think he means kill Lady Watcher right now.
He nods.
Just at some point in the future.
Whatever. How do we save this town?
He seems to think about it. He looks at one of the draped windows. There's no screaming anymore. You can't hear screaming in Valakar anymore. But you can hear the distant sound of fire and bats. And he says finally...
Very well. You will not kill Lady Watcher, but you will not return to Valakai.
That's fine. I hate it here.
Then a deal is struck.
He reaches out with his hand.
I don't shake it. I'm just like, good, a deal is struck. Give us yonder. How do we save the town?
Pip shakes the hand.
You shake his cold, clammy hand. After, immediately as that happens, you feel a cold shard of ice slip into your heart. It is metaphorical now, but Pip, you are under a quest, if you will.
Uh-huh.
If you do not keep your word in this bargain, that metaphorical shard will become very real.
It's funny that Pip, once he leaves Valakai, if he ever goes back, will die.
All right. Oh, the geese works for you and everyone who made this deal.
Oh, okay.
If Hector or if anyone else comes back, it hits you just the same.
Okay. All right. Cool.
The
good
burden
stuff.
Of the entire party is now upon you.
Okay? All right.
Well, sweet. I would say actually Gogash doesn't care and he doesn't think of it. A Gogash, Yender, and Cribbit all will shake hands as well. Cribbit's maybe the only person who clearly knows what's happening, but he still shakes the hand. And when you can see, like, it's happening to him, he nods with satisfaction.
What did he do?
It's a sort of a geese. It's a magical promise has been made. It's a dirty trick, but he's a dirty man. If I come back in Valakai after leaving, I assume...
If any of you break your word, you will suffer consequences.
Yeah.
In exchange, you have my word of the same, he says, putting his hand over his heart. I will not track you. I will not follow you. You have nothing to fear from me. Now, the origins of this plague comes from the coffin maker's shop. He says, he shows you on the map. The coffin maker's shop is in the far east of the city.
I have reason to believe that the coffin maker has made a deal with Strahd. It is no longer important. He is dead. But nonetheless, the origin must be sealed. Within the coffin maker's shop, there will be some method of magical transposal. Destroy this method however you see fit, and this plague will end.
All right.
All right. Well, let us go.
Yep. Stand up.
Free Yender. Unchain Yender. Now.
He gestures, and one of the city watch unchains Yender. She stands up, gives you both, Pip and Hector, gives you both a curt nod, and you leave.
Never liked you, I say to the burgomaster as I leave.
He waves a hand like he doesn't care.
Hasn't changed.
But secretly he cares.
Pip's the most popular guy in school.
As you step out onto the burgomaster's porch, Agogash looks at the two of you and says, "We have much to discuss."
You're telling me, yeah.
Yender nods, looking for about all of you, and says, "Yeah, we. What are you? Are you? Are you lot all right? What the fuck happened to you?"
I mean, there's so really much. No time, Yender.
All right, no, you're right. We got to get to the coffin maker's shop.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
And then we will happily tell you what has happened.
If we ever get when a we're break, Yendo.
Not around people that can talk to Strahd. I just want to point at the bats
if we
in
ever
the distance anywhere near us.
God, imagine having an afternoon to just chat idly, I say. It's been like 3 days of this shit.
I would never, if you, a week ago, if you had told me that I would see my time in the city of Barovia as like a holiday from my time in Valakai, I would not. I came here on kind of a fucking holiday, she says.
Yeah.
Quick question, Yender. Do you have any source of magic left?
She looks at you very meaningfully and she says, "I know what you're talking about. I got a little magic."
Good.
Thankfully. Good. I wouldn't say I'm particularly gifted at the moment, but ain't got none.
I think myself and I think you and probably more me have been draining Barovia's resources to the point where we have caused potentially some irreparable damage.
She nods. Ain't that the understatement of the year?
Mm.
All right. So she has some cure wounds. Would we like to distribute that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm good.
I'm a bit fucked up, but I think I can make a concoction.
All right. Mm. As you're moving, you would like to make a concoction?
Yes.
Oh, one thing. Pip, this, and I want to, the feather that Jackson gave me so long ago when, as a nicety.
Yeah.
I was given this feather as a gift. Is this any sort of alchemical reagent? Do you know what
this is? Is it a raven's feather?
Highs or lows?
Lows.
Let's say it's a seagull feather.
Okay, there's no function to that.
Nah.
Is this anything?
It's exotic from Barovia.
It's exotic. There's no seagulls
there's
around
no,
here.
Nothing so, kind of magically targeted.
I'll take it. I might be able to do something with it, but not from my training. Mm. If it was a raven feather, I'd say tucking it into my little equipment. Now that
would have been.
Then we'd be talking. That's radiant damage, a raven feather, but
yeah.
Seagull feather, maybe. Good against crabs.
One of the Vistanis gave it to me. I don't know if it can help us now, but if it can, great.
I'll see. Maybe down the track we'll find something to do with it. Maybe we'll come across some chips that need to be eaten.
Wow, Pip. Wow.
And I thought, well, at this point, anything could have helped.
Yeah, no, of course. You're not wrong. I'd like to go buy some dragon blood. Some
maybe under my breath. Still a cunt.
Some a cunt. Angel feathers.
Uh-huh.
So dragon blood for immunity to energy. Angel feathers for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a question
for
you.
What energy are you picking?
Necrotic, let's say.
Okay.
Now, here's a question. I have something that can poison me. Can I make it a good poison?
What do you mean? So what are you combining and what's your intention?
Healing from angel feathers. Whatever was giving me energy, dragon's blood for immunity to energy.
You're using the legendary power of the dragon's blood. That's all you care about, right?
Yeah, no. I just want to make a healing bomb or something to heal up myself. But I'm thinking, if I make it poisonous, can I give myself temporary hit points as I'm poisoned by healing?
Oh yeah, I see.
So
what
like
you're
every
saying.
as okay, it would normally no, make to, me yeah, weaker, right. It's actually making me stronger.
I'll make you that deal. Sure. It gives you temporary hit points, but it gives you a consistent temporary hit points for a certain amount of time. All right,
I add some flump spoils, which is gonna make it taste terrible, but I mean not that it tastes good, but
all right. For a D6 rounds, you will get, let's say, 5 temporary hit points.
All right, I will just I'm not going to drink it now, but I'll just slot it onto my little bandolier.
Okay.
Maybe I'll take out a little marker, write H for healing on it.
Well, you still kind of need some healing, though, because you're still kind of fucked up. Mm-hmm. So Yender is going to cast... Yeah, she's going to burn a bit of magic just to get you a little bit in a better place.
Thanks, Yender.
10. You regain 20 hit points.
Nice.
You're nice. On 33.
33 out of 80.
Is the coffin maker shop, I asked the, maybe Pip?
Yeah.
Is that near where the blacksmith and the leather worker were?
Is it?
It's like, from where you are, it's on the way. Yeah, no, it is near, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
Well, I mean, I know that the blacksmith had some weapons.
That had arms and armor.
And
true.
We could make sure that the leather working
is probably worth checking out.
On fire.
Those buildings are
well and truly gone.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good to hear then.
Yeah.
We'd make sure that.
Well, we'll check it out on the way. I mean, that was our intention for coming here in the first place, I say. And then I'm arms in arm or not to. Anyway, let's start marching.
Mm. You make your way towards the coffin maker's shop.
Was there anything salvageable in the blacksmith / leather worker area?
Well, do you want to take the time to check?
Well, is it on fire? Is it actively on fire or is it smoldering?
Highs or lows?
Yeah, go highs.
It's partially on fire, partially collapsed.
Okay. Well, then it's just nice to know that it has fallen over.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah. Small blessings.
This uninviting shop is 2 stories tall and has a sign shaped like a coffin above the front door. All windowed shutters are closed up tight. And a deathly silence surrounds the establishment. Outside, actually from that sign, is a man. He has been hung.
Oh.
This guy. Mm.
Oh, the coffin maker himself, yeah. I have to assume.
He's probably also been disemboweled as well, and his guts are lying in a heap on the floor. This looks like the work... Pip, you've seen this before. This looks like the work of Izek, the Burgermaster's right-hand man.
That's a shame.
It looks like this guy was killed for working with Strahd.
Yep. Mm. Okay. Mm. All right. I'd like to quickly make one more concoction. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm always making concoctions. I'd like to combine some Death Knight's Woe for Undead Bane with some Blight Skin for Poison and then with some Shambling Fungi for Gripping, just to make some more Undead Bane arrows.
You succeed. You get 5... Undead Bane arrows.
Sick. I'm burning through ingredients. It's getting low. I'm getting low, baby.
What would you like to do? Like I said, the place looks boarded up tight. You can see that second floor, a lot of the windows are open, mm-hmm. and it looks like a steady stream of bats is flying out of the second floor.
I will. We know it. Not worth putting on Divine Sense.
Me and Cribbit can probably get up to those windows, I say.
Cribbit and I.
Cribbit and I could probably get up to those windows.
Cribbit nods appreciatively.
did Burgermaster say what it was exactly?
No, it was unclear. Some kind of transposing portal.
He just knows that there's some portal in there.
Yeah. If you two could head up there, the three of us, we'll go through the front door.
Is it wise for you to stray so far from me in such a place as a Kokash?
Oh, I missed this.
He's actually got a good point.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe if we all go in together, we'll have a... Somebody once said adventurers together strong. My brother Hank is always saying that.
Your brother Hank sounds like a clever fella, says Yender. You kick in the door. Successfully.
In front of a Gogash too.
Oh, man,
so emasculated.
You kick in the door, and when you do that, you see a little flare appears, and you have tripped some sort of magical incantation or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Figured as much.
Can I identify it at all?
You don't know much Arcana.
No, you don't know
this sort of magic.
Yeah. I guess if I've noticed that, what the hell was that?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a glyph of alarm, Hector.
Right.
Someone has just been made aware that you've done this.
Cool. Well, I guess it gets them away from the church.
Yeah, that's good. True. All right, let's start making our way through the coffin shop.
Mm-hmm. All right. The ground floor appears to be uninhabited, but there are many coffins.
Oh, no.
Scary.
Adam, I want to stop playing.
Adam, you didn't say that you're coffins.
You've seen coffins. Coffins, you know, they're frightened by
them. Dead guys go in them.
Yeah.
The first room is a workshop.
It contains everything a carpenter might need to make coffins or mm-hmm. furniture. Three sturdy work tables stretch the length of the west wall. You can see there are two doors on your right-hand side. Which okay. would you like to take, the first or the second?
They get no, obviously, markings or anything above
oh,
them.
Oh, also, obviously, searching the room is turning the room over for anything is obviously always an option. Mm. I'm just not always saying
I feel like, presumably, the bat portal.
Yeah, is there where we want to go.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's... Well, first, I want to ask a question about how does vampire invitation works? If I'm in a building that's not mine, can I say go away? You're not invited.
Anyone can invite a vampire in. It doesn't matter.
And then if they've already been invited, can they...
I don't know if you can de-invite a vampire.
You don't think... Yeah,
I don't think you can do that. You can say, no, sir, if they ask if they want to come in. But if they've already been invited in, that's pretty much game over, yeah.
Maybe I'll make some sort of home rule where it's like they have an hour to leave if you invite them. That'd be funny.
They've got to take care of their affairs. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so we can't... Okay, good. Well, the options was...
There's two doors.
Two doors on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One is immediately as you come in. The other is about halfway into the room.
All right, if I'm thinking
that
of house...
probably doesn't help you much. Just setting the scene.
I was going to be like, thinking of house design, where would you put an entry to upstairs?
Yeah, I just try both doors. Let's just give it a whack.
First one?
Yeah.
All right. You fools. A table with four chairs in one corner of the room, a lantern hanging from a chain directly above, two well-made cabinets stand against the east wall. It's a kind of an L-shaped room.
Mm-hmm.
If you stick your head in and look around properly, you can see there is a door here as well to the north.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The way this building is designed, it's just like two stories. It's not like like a two story and then like a one story kind of extension or anything like that.
It's one floor directly above.
Well, we'll try the other door then.
The other door.
And if this one doesn't work out, we'll go in here and then up to the north. Right.
Arranged haphazardly about the floor of this musty L-shaped room are 13 wooden coffins. You can see there is a back. Presumably entrance. From the design of the door, you can tell it leads outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is two doors immediately to your right-hand side. It looks like one of these doors leads to that junk room that you saw before. But the other door here, kind of in the middle of the house, if you will, is unknown.
Okay. I'm just going to just chuck on Divine Sense, Adam.
All right. You sense an undead presence.
Yeah, good.
All around. Undead have been in the area recently.
All right, anything like...
Maybe still.
So that doesn't give me like this coffin over there? There's going to be a spooky vampire going to pop out?
There's been a lot of undead here for a while recently, so no, unfortunately.
Okay.
You can tell that there's none in this room.
All right.
There's one door left that you haven't explored in that coffin room.
Okay. We'll try that.
It is locked.
Okay. Cool.
How sturdy is the door?
It's made out of wood. You're not 100% sure.
It is locked. I want a quick cursory around looking for where would a key be? Put it back on the body.
Just bash through.
I was about to be like, bash through.
Yeah.
Oh, good job.
Yes.
Good boy, Card.
Yes.
Lucky duck.
You break down a set of stairs leading up.
Nice.
You make your way up. As you do so, who would be the... What's a marching order? This stairway is only...
Cool, this is the first time we've had to do a marching order. How crazy.
This set of stairs is only wide enough for one person at a time. So who's first?
I would say myself.
Yep.
Then next. Gogash. Then probably Yenda.
Yeah.
Then you and Cribbit.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so Cribbit brings up the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Cribbit pulls once again, Pip, at your sleeve, he says... Story approaches, and then he points out the open front door, and you can see as Escher steps into the building.
Okay, uh-oh, okay.
We're going to go to initiative. He's quick enough to catch up to you.
Yeah,
sorry,
all right,
we
cool,
should go to
cool,
initiative.
Cool, 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 cool.
Shit.
It's Escher's turn first.
Oh,
no,
shit.
No shock. Escher reaches out to you, Pip, being... the closest person who is not Cribbit, and Escher would never harm Cribbit.
Cribbit's also too low. It doesn't look menacing if you go down and pick someone up. Fair enough.
He reaches out with a hand that becomes claw-like when it wraps around your throat. He squeezes and crushes your windpipe.
Oh, fuck.
You take... instead of damaging. All right. Oh, no, that's fine. All right. You what? Just, no saving throw, are grappled. Oh, he begins to pull you in.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no, there is. Sorry, there is a saving throw. Sorry. It's just really hard.
Fuck.
You fail.
What was the...
It's a athletics check.
Never mind.
All right. He pulls you in with an awful, awful... wrenching feeling, he twists your head to expose your neck.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, critical failure.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, my fucking God. Hey, guess what? Guess just guess how much damage this could do.
Like 80.
Maybe 50, not even, like 50? I want to say 50.
Not even close.
20?
No, it's actually quite low.
Okay.
It's a D6 plus 4 piercing damage.
Yeah.
Plus 3d6 necrotic damage, which is reduced from your maximum hit points. He gets that back.
Uh-huh.
And if he reduces you to 0, you become a vampire spawn.
Oh, no.
Cool.
Pray for a high number. Oh, that's a decently high number. All right. You grab Escher. Oh, this is pretty good for you, actually. You grab Escher and you throw him off you. He falls over one of the coffins, lands onto the floor, looks up at you. His face contorts and twists, no longer attractive. It takes on like an angular, a predator-like appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Like it becomes part, I don't even know, like part savage animal, like a bear for a brief moment. Then it reverts back to its normal, handsome appearance. When he tries to get up, he finds that the hem of his clothes has gotten... skewered by one of the broken wooden coffins.
That rolls.
And it takes him a moment to get back up.
That's great. That's great.
Hector.
All right. It's just there. Do I know enough about... Escher's goals? He's like, don't... Okay. What's in front of me?
In front of you is the door to the second story.
All right. I will kick it open. I will start just run and... burst through. I assume it is locked and I don't care.
You kick it down and... Oh, actually, I'm so sorry. There's two doors. One to your left, one to your right.
Okay. Knowing the layout of the house, when we walked in, what would be the one with the windows that we would be like...
It was all of the rooms, it appeared.
Okay.
No, actually, I'm so sorry. I tell a lie.
Okay.
No, it would be... Oh, yeah, it's a pressure situation. That's How well can you remember in a pressure situation?
Not very.
No, one side of the house absolutely was not producing bats, but like you can remember, all right, as I came in, it was the left-hand side of the house. Mm-hmm. Now, theoretically, you have heard everything. Zamet has heard everything he needs to know which way to go.
So,
but you, I'm not giving you any hints. You and Hector are, you didn't roll well enough. You and Hector are the same. Theoretically could figure it out, but it's not going to be easy.
Left-hand side is where the bats were coming out of or not coming out
of? As you were facing the building. Sorry, it was the right-hand side as you were facing the building.
The right-hand side is where the bats were coming out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was two doors that we entered. So we entered the thing and then there was two doors. And where were, did you tell us which way they were? They were.
I did, yes.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Hey.
I'm not going to repeat it.
Ah, well, go right.
You're right. You're right. All right. You kick the door down. This kitchen contains a square table surrounded by chairs and shelves of provisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That sucks.
Unfortunately, that's your action.
Yep, you actually
still have an interaction. If the door is unlocked,
you
could get into the other room.
Ah, well, then I will go to the other one and probably try to unlock this locked door.
Highs or lows?
Highs.
The door is locked.
Give it as much. That's
you will unfortunately need another action. You still have some movement if you want to do
that.
That
is okay.
Use your movement to just walk into the door and try and glitch through.
Jump out the kitchen window and get Escher from behind.
I guess, was there anything in the kitchen in terms of like that might.
Anything that you could find in a normal kitchen.
Hmm.
If you could name it.
And it's reasonable. I would say it's in this kitchen.
Gas-powered stove. Turn on the gas.
There a bucket vampire of... gun. Yeah. It shoots vampires. You don't want that.
Is there a barrel of water for washing? They hate running water.
It needs to be... A like barrel a of water is not going to be enough.
But if you tip it over, it's running.
It really needs to be the volume of a river.
Yeah, okay. Something like a tap.
Yeah. Okay. So if I got my water screen, I just squeezed it together and jetted the water out of it.
Unfortunately, it's a vampire fighting, not the Wicked Witch of the West.
Rats.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. That's witches. A few pages further along in.
Do vampires hate their reflection or just can't see their reflection?
I think it's just can't see.
Okay.
Hate their reflection is funny. That's why they can't see it. That's what I look like.
That's yucky.
In the passage, that's kind of what they use. They can see
Also have a bonus action if you can do anything with a bonus action. I mean, Paladin, king of the bonus action, but you've also used a lot of magic.
Well, I don't have any spells at them, so
And with that, it becomes a Gurgash's turn.
Okay.
A Gurgash. There's a lot of people in the way.
Yeah.
All right. Agurgash is going to use his action to plant a hand on each. Oh, actually, you know what? Agurgash knows what he's going to do. Agurgash looks up at you, Hector, and looks at the door and says, "Would you like me to open that for you?"
Yes, now.
He makes his way up, shoves in, pushes in next to you, plants a hand firmly on the door, pushes, and then the door and part of the wall collapses in.
He's so strong.
Thank you so much.
This large, the room is called Vampire Nest. This large, it's just funny to imagine. This large, drafty room is strung with cobwebs and takes up the most of the upper floor. Stacks of wooden planks lie amid several crates marked junk. On the floor, you can see it really takes up most of this level. On the floor on the far side, you can see there is a large etching on the ground, which glows faintly. Every now and then, you can still see the wooden floor, but every now and then the wooden floor shimmers and bats begin flying out of it.
I guess that's summoning bats, but it's so funny to imagine someone's feeding them into the other end of the portal somewhere.
Agurgash charges towards it, which is both good and bad, because he's going to trigger the trap.
Oh, Agurgash, no. What, Adam? What has got you so sad?
Agurgash, as he approaches it, does not realize how big it is. It has, so it's one circle, but then actually there's strings stretching off in different directions to other smaller circles. Agurgash steps on one of them, looks back at you, Hector, and says, "Oh," and then he's gone.
Pardon, Adam?
Deep within Castle Ravenloft.
Oh, no.
Dark in its bowels, a teleportation glyph slowly fades into being.
Okay.
Agurgash stands in his prison cell.
Okay.
Oh, Agurgash says.
Okay.
Oh, no.
It's Cribbit's turn.
Okay. Fuck. Goodbye, Agurgash.
Cribbit looks at you, Pip, and says, "This one can't wait to see a Gurgash tear him apart." With a little bit of my characteristic humor. Cribbit strums a harp that you didn't realize he had. And Pip, you feel yourself bolstered. You have bardic inspiration.
Hell yeah.
You had that. And then I guess the best thing he can do is he unlumbers his light crossbow and fires at Escher. And he misses. Then it is, Pip, your turn.
Okay. I'm just going to fire two of my undead bane bolts into Escher.
First attack, hit.
I'll also probably at the same time be just saying the things that they're weak to. Running water, sunlight. Wooden or metallic stake to the heart.
You deal 10 points of damage. Mm-hmm. The first bolt fired straight down into Esh's chest. Mm-hmm. He hisses and looks down at it. He maybe tears open some of his clothes, and you can see the bolt sticking in his cold, clammy flesh. All around it, the flesh begins necrotizing as your undead bane begins eating away at him like a disease.
That rolls.
The second bolt, however, Escher, looking up at you, slams your crossbow bolt aside and the bolt fires next to his head instead.
Okay, cool.
That was... Is there anything else?
Yes. I don't know if this... Look, Emmanuel has never been clear on this, but I take out some of the garlic that I got earlier, chuck it in my mouth, just start chewing.
All right, cool.
Emmanuel's never been clear about whether or not garlic really works, but I might as well, you know, to pull out all the stops here.
And then Yender barrels in behind you, Pip, using you kind of as cover. She fires a bolt of energy. You can hear her muttering under her breath, "Garden bolt, garden bolt, garden bolt, garden bolt." It begins to grow bigger and bigger in her hands, and then boom! It shoots out of them and strikes Escher.
Oh, wow. Hopefully it does.
Yes, it does. Oh, great. It was good. It was a good hit.
Yeah.
66 damage. And he
fucking hell.
He's not going to.
Oh, 66.
60.
Yeah, did you also hear 66? And I was like, geez.
Whoa.
But Escher's not going to be able to heal this turn.
That's good.
That's something.
10, 20, 22 points of damage to Escher. His regenerative powers are not going to activate. And next attack has advantage on him.
Oh, sweet.
It's his turn.
Okay.
Yay.
Less sweet.
Escher's standing. He with both hands, he slams the floor behind him and uses that momentum to come to a stand in front of you. Oh, he says, is this how you want to play?
Shut up.
He looks you dead in the eyes, Pip, and he says, you would much prefer to play on the winning team, would you not?
Oh, no.
The words echo in the back of your mind. A terror rips at your heart. Holy shit. Maybe it would be smarter to play on the fucking winning team. And then from behind you, ba-da-ding.
No, none of that.
Oh, fuck. Thank God for Cribbit, man.
Cribbit's song fills your heart. He uses his reaction to counter Escher's ability.
Oh,
Escher looks past you to see Cribbit, and both of them in unison take out, Cribbit takes out his book, Escher takes out his ledger, and they scribble something about each other. That was his turn.
All right, fuck, okay.
And then it is Hector, your turn. You're the only person who's seen what's happened to a Gogash.
Where did he go?
You might hear that, but you don't.
Oh, yeah. Other
shit's
all background noise for me at the moment.
I look around the room. I think I now can I see the glyph and like
you see the trap basically.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, okay. So now that I can see, I guess the glyph and then the further traps and all of that. How do I think the best way to destroy this would be? Is it even possible? Like, would I have to
destroy it? I mean, what's your arcana? Oh, wow. Oh, good job. You are briefly transported back in time to traveling to Fairburn Point with Sir Grace. Sir Grace, you're like, obviously, you were quite enamored with Sir Grace.
He was a hero.
And you wanted, like so many of his fans before, you wanted a blow-by-blow of every single adventure he ever went on. And you remember with vivid detail.
So Grace presumably relishing the opportunity to not have to talk to his daughter.
So Grace, you remember asking Sir Grace a question about something with like the necro wizard Norton, perhaps, how he was to summon some sort of demonic or evil creature. And you asked him, but Sir Grace, the stories don't tell. How did you break the summoning circle? And Sir Grace said,
Generally, what you want to do is just mess up the circle any way you can. If you can get your dagger in there or whatever and just carve it into kind of a new circle, kind of distort whatever the picture is. That's, Tiffany, yeah. That's basically the way to do it.
I'm watching.
Yeah.
Nice flip.
It's a good horse. It's a really good horse. Yeah, that's typically the way you want to distill whatever the picture is.
All right. Knowing that, I run to the kitchen, grab a knife.
Yeah.
Come back. And I just start.
Is it reasonable for a kitchen to have a knife?
Yeah. One of vampire killing knives. And I stab.
You get a knife. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Grab a knife. And I just start from the entryway, just like slashing any kind of carving I can see to fuck up that the markings.
Oh, molto bene. You slash and destroy the summoning circle. When that happens, the bats turn into like a black dust that lingers for a moment and then begins to settle on the floor. You didn't even realize, you know how a noise can kind of fade into the background?
Mm.
The noise of millions of bats slowly turns into a noise of... And then it takes maybe a solid... It's over the course of the next 10 minutes. That screeching bat noise will completely be overcome by the... And then noise of settling dust.
Oh.
But the bats have stopped coming.
That's something.
That's good.
Right. With maybe knife in hand, I will now look down the stairs.
You won't be able to see what's happening downstairs until your next turn. But good job. Get a good boy card.
Nice.
It's Cribbit's turn. Cribbit, fuck, the little guy. He's running out of shit. He's really got nothing but the crossbow right now. He fires the crossbow.
At least that's like the lovely sound of...
The dung is the sound of the bolt being
fired.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, he misses. Pip, it's your turn.
Okay, got your bats, pretty boy, I say, and then fire twice again.
That's good, get a good boy card.
Yes.
Are they both undead, Bane?
Yep.
Ah, that sucks, because one of them missed. I'm funny. The other one hits though, and you see you make a you. The second one hits in his the torn open shirt. He genuinely looks like he's from the cover of a fucking trashy romance novel. If this were different circumstances, this would be so fucking erotic.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He takes another 12 points of damage.
All right, that's good.
And then it is Yenda's turn. Oh, actually, the first attack should have been made with advantage. You hit. Hey. First attack's hit. Thank you, Yenda.
Thank you, Yenda.
That's an extra 17 points of damage. She, behind you, says, calls out to you, Pip. Well, that was good, yeah? Do another one?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Guiding bolt, guiding bolt, guiding bolt, guiding bolt. She fires another one. That's a hit. And unfortunately, it's not as powerful as the last one, though, because she's run out of third level spells. 16 points of damage. He won't regenerate, and he advantage on the next attack.
Fuck yeah.
Let me quickly check if he is. I think now just barely bloodied.
I mean,
like literally that's damage not, bloodied.
I mean, it's fucked up. It took this long and that many tries, but it's.
Nice that it's here.
It's nice that we're like, all right, okay.
It's Escher's turn.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Mm.
He, knowing that Cribbit can counterspell his charm attack, he grabs you again, Pip. Yep, you're going to get bit this time.
Oh, fuck.
All right, so good news, bad news. You have those 8 temporary hit points.
Okay.
And you lose, 5 of them, so you've got 3 temporary hit points left. Okay. Then... It sounds like your own heartbeat. You can hear your heart in your ears. You lose the rest of your temporary hit points. You're down 3 regular hit points.
Okay.
So you're on 30 now.
Is my shirt also kind of blown open? Sure, yeah.
Can I?
You know, you said it could be. It is a little erotic still.
Sure, yeah.
Can I, Adam?
Yes.
Play a good boy.
God, yeah.
Which is get behind me, which is that I take... all incoming damage for Pip to barrel my way through and push him out the way, lovingly expose my neck.
Well, yeah, all right. Wish you'd done that before I'd started rolling attacks. All right, Pip, you've still got 33 hit points and 8 temporary hit points.
Okay, thank God.
Hector, you have lost your 8 temporary hit points and another 3 hit points, so you're on 53. And then Escher almost like shrugs, like, whatever, I'll take this. Oh my god!
That's all right.
What?
That's all right.
What, Adam?
You take.
I have remember resistance to necrotic damage.
All right. Well, oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Good. That's why.
Good. You take only 9 points of damage.
Okay.
Could have been double that. But your maximum hit points are also reduced by 9.
Okay.
So your maximum hit points are now 67 instead of 80.
Four.
Yeah. Mm. And that's till a long rest.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I love that. Love
to hear.
And then it is Hector, your turn.
In a week.
Oh, imagine how good we're going to feel in a week, dude. A week is so far. It's actually 6 days.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually 6 days.
So. I've got a note in my thing. Yeah.
So it's not too
obviously
far away,
also,
but
please
it's far
keep track,
away.
But yeah, I got it in my book. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, what to do?
You know what the fucked up thing is?
Yeah.
You know you can't kill him now. Like, he can't die here. He'll just go back to his coffin.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
You're playing by Superman rules.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to win every single fucking fight.
I know. He only
needs to win once.
Like, I am going to swing twice with my mace.
All right.
First attack?
Yeah.
Hit, second attack, miss.
Okay, good.
Your first attack strikes him, and then you maybe kind of like a back slam. You hit into his chin, knocking him back, and then with your second attack, you think you're going to knock his chin in the other way, but his hand comes out with unnatural speed, grabs the mace, stopping it dead in its tracks. But the first attack does cause him damage. Is it a D6 plus anything?
Just a D6 plus 3.
For your strength, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, what, you got any holy shit going on?
No, it's been, we're drained, dude.
That sucks, my dude. You do 8 points of damage. Mm.
Okay.
Cribbit's turn. Cribbit really just has the crossbow right now. That's a miss. It's getting a little fast. Every single time he reloads it, it gets a little faster. It's your turn.
Okay. All right. I'm going to fire my last undead bane arrow.
Hit.
All right.
Critical hit.
That's good.
That's very good. Pray for a high number.
Pray for a high number.
Mm. Wally, give me a... Ah, fuck. that's not great. Shot in the arm. Double damage, and he has disadvantage on strength-based attacks for D4 rounds. That's good. That's all of his attacks.
That's great. That's such good news.
Double damage, and it's already undead bane. This is going to fuck him. 36 plus 6. 42 points of damage. Oh, my God. Yeah, good job.
Okay.
Fucking great job. Okay, well, yeah.
That was one attack.
Yes, your second attack.
Well, no, can I bite him? Because I also have a good boy card that says I have the right tool for the job. Maybe it's the garlic in my mouth.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'll allow that.
All right, okay.
I'm sorry. You try to bite him, but you miss.
That's a shame. Oh, well, never mind.
Escher leans his head back like he frankly fucking should have the day Strahd turned down. You like that one, Zawin?
Yeah, good.
And then it is Yender's turn. Yender's down to first level.
fuck, dude.
It's something.
Guiding Bolt. She casts it again. Critical hit.
All right, hell yeah.
Great
hell
job,
yeah.
Yender. Holy smokes.
Magic critical hits are always so much fun, too.
Yeah, oh, they are. Ravioli, give me a high number Oli.
That's the prey you gotta use.
Yeah, remember that for next time. Lingering Energy, make a DC 16 Constitution saving throw on a failed save. Take a D8 as the same type at the beginning of your... Oh, yeah, this'll fuck him then. Oh, this is good. That's if he fails this fucking saving throw, that's guaranteed radiant damage to his regeneration. He uses legendary resistance. I'm sorry, I forgot he had that.
Damn it.
Well, he still takes some damage.
Yeah.
It's never enough, though, is it?
Never is. Never is.
Really isn't, man.
10, 18 points of damage and advantage on the next attack.
Okay. All right.
With that blast, Escher staggers backwards. Looks at all of you, clutching at his chest, trying to like stare daggers at all of you. He says, no, actually, he doesn't say anything. He just silently seething, staring at you, becomes mist. The mist with speed beyond what he had when he was just running and speed beyond vampire spawn. It escapes eastward towards Castle Ravenloft.
Nobody breathe in.
What was that?
There is a, in 3.5, there's an enemy called Vampire Mist.
Yeah,
that does
Pip's
just
not
that.
Taking any chances.
I hold my breath. What was that?
That was Escher leaving. That was him. We couldn't have killed him here, I say.
Oh.
He needs to be killed in his coffin, staked in the heart.
Did he drop his ledger?
No, it all comes with him. Yeah, no.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Here's the Curse of Strahd campaign book.
Yes. I'm just curious where his ledger was. What kind of thing?
I like find just like a chair to sit down on because it's been a long couple of days.
So I have good news, bad news.
Okay.
What would you like first?
The good news.
Well, the summoning, the bat summoning is ended. It is gone. Yeah,
I can hear the kind of eking dying down.
The bad news is that Ikogesh is also gone.
Deceased?
I don't think so.
What do you mean gone?
When he went into the room of the bats, he stepped into something, and then it gone. There was a glyph. Can I remember what it was that the glyph that lit up? Or
you rolled pretty well to know about Arcana, so I would say that you were able to deduce that it is a two-way teleporter. So he got sent to wherever the bats were coming from.
So Grace, like, back in that memory with his copy of Emmanuel the Monster covering up Tiffany's face as she tries to say something, describing all of the different glyphs. Yeah, that's...
If I was to hazard a guess, he is where the bats came from.
And yeah, if would I probably was to be had... Castle Ravenloft.
Yes, Castle Ravenloft. I would assume that he is there.
What do I know about people that get sent to Castle Ravenloft?
No one's ever come back that you know of.
As far as I know, no one...
No, that's not completely accurate, actually. So, sometimes, if Strahd is particularly interested in people, he might... You have seen... You wouldn't have seen this until after the Uprising, or heard about this until after the Uprising. But sometimes, if Strahd thinks someone is particularly promising... That what that means, you have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But he will invite them to Castle Ravenloft. These people sometimes come back. Otherwise, no one has ever come back from Castle Ravenloft.
I give you like a meaningful look, and I'm like, look.
Okay.
As long as he doesn't do anything to piss Strahd off, then there's a chance Strahd will think him entertaining enough to let live. Perhaps we'll be lucky. And he'll find a Gogash's je ne sais quoi.
Amusing.
Yeah. I'll go upstairs and just look at the glyph just to see if I can gather any more information from it.
Mm. All right. It's kind of destroyed. It's been pretty thoroughly destroyed, but you rolled pretty well. So, yeah, you think that's what's happened. Yeah, okay. He's been sent to Castle Ravenloft.
Well,
Is the fire still raging?
The fire's... Well, actually, you know what could happen now? For the first time ever, you bless the rains in Barovia. The clouds break, and then all at once, rain begins pouring into Valakai, and the flames just naturally die down.
Oh, that is small blessings.
Yeah.
I maybe gesture to
gunk! Pip, you clutch at your heart.
Gesture to my heart.
I think I need to leave.
Cribbit
think...
and Yender also similarly, like, double over. Gunk!
I have to go. I'm just gonna start rushing down the stairs. All right. Say goodbye to Danica and Erwin for me, and then I'm gonna make my way out of town.
Do I know that? No,
You are aware if Hector stays as well, it still hits you.
Okay, let us head off. Let us head off. Maybe we can... Let's go, go, go.
Yeah. Gunk! The nearest gate is the eastern one, if you wanted to head out of that.
Yeah. Whatever's closest, yeah.
Heading out of the eastern gate, you are immediately greeted by Madame Eva's troop, who have made an identical camp. Their western camp has just moved over here to the east. Mm-hmm. It looks like they were perhaps unaffected by what happened. You're not 100% sure.
Okay, yeah. Classic. Mm. All right. The moment I step out of the city, does
the moment you step out, you feel instant relief.
I look back with, you know, some mourning at Valakai that I'll never return.
Mm. What, is there anything that gets rid of that?
Well, I don't know. Nothing I know of.
Mm. Geese is kind of like ones like this can be considered curses, and a curse is breakable, but it takes some doing.
Not going back into Valakai isn't the worst thing in the world.
Hector. Well, correct.
Honestly, it could be worse.
I understand that, but there is a few things that we still needed to do in Valakai. One of them being, well, making sure that the Burgomaster does not summon a certain thing.
Yeah.
Yender, sitting down, crosses her legs and takes a deep breath. At the end of it, she says, let's put it on the pile, I suppose.
And then I guess we'll head into the Vistani camp.
The mood within the Vistani camp, within Madam Eva's camp, I should specify, is somber. There is no music. There is no merriment. Oof. The Vistani are standing basically at the doors, the thresholds to many of their homes, looking at you with like a very serious expressions on their faces. Like they understand the hell that you've been through. Mm-hmm. And you can see an apologetic, or not apologetic, sorry. You can see a sympathy from them. Jackson meets you by the campfire and he gestures behind him to the one cart, which no one is standing by, Madam Ava's cart.
I am sorry for what has happened to you.
Oh, yeah, well, you did nothing, I say. Not as in you did nothing to help, but, well, which you didn't. But I just mean it's not your fault. I'm going to flump down by the fire. I don't think I'm going into Madam Ava's.
Sure. Yeah. The four of you with Jackson sit down around the fire. Hector and Pip, presumably the two of you are sitting next to Cribbit and Yender. Pip, you'd be sitting next to Cribbit, mm-hmm. and Hector, you'd be sitting next to Yender. There's maybe a pot of stew cooking cooked, and Jackson serves you up a plate of stew.
Okay.
So when did you move?
We move when Madam Eva tells us to. We moved maybe a day or two ago. No, not a day or two. No, less than a day ago.
I sit down next to Pip and
stew.
Yes, that would be nice.
He plates you up as well. And then he sits down with also a plate. And the three of you quietly, somberly eat at the fire.
I would like to check in on Woken.
Right. Where's right. Maybe it is best if we just send Yender.
To Woken?
I do not know how to get to Eleniul. I will have...
Yender does?
Well, no, I don't think Yender knows where it is, but we'll have to get led by Marquillet, and okay. I don't think either of us are welcome into the Dusk Elf encampment.
I know why I'm not welcome. What did you do?
I
thought they liked you.
I punched their leader in the face.
Well, yeah, I suppose that would do it.
Yender makes like a tutting noise.
They,
not really the most diplomatic move, I say.
They would not help. They, in fact, were happy to watch Valakai burn.
Yeah. Did punching them make them more receptive to your request?
You, looking at Pip, you see Cribbit looking past at the two of you, writing down like he's genuinely curious what the answer to that question was.
I suppose not, but in the moment I felt a bit better.
Yeah, well, hey, that's something at least.
Oh my god, sassy Pip.
He's a sass queen. All right, well look, I need
well,
to...
there is a and also there's the Vistani that is there, and I described the leader. He's like, and he's definitely working with Strahd.
Yeah, they're some of the bad Vistani. Well, let's look around. I don't really like any of... Look, I have to see Woken. So I'm going to go speak to the Dusk Elves. You don't have to come with me. They might hate me somewhat less than they hate you now, which is pretty funny.
If I go with you, maybe I can keep them off your back, or maybe I could just speak to them instead of you.
Yeah, they're probably neutral toward you. You don't even know who you are. All right.
Yes, let's just go. Let's go to Woken.
Okay. All right.
You're not going to speak to... She gestures towards Madam Eva's wagon.
She knew. I gestured to Valakai, like the smoldering, like the plumes.
Yender shrugs.
Everything.
Predicting the future is no certain thing. I've known many diviners in my time. Even the best of them can't predict with 100% certainty.
I suppose you're right. Okay, I will go have a chat, see what she says. And then we will go see Woken.
Say hi to the old bag for me.
Would you like to come?
No. No, I'm good. I'll stay here with my stew. Thank you.
I get up and head into Madame Eva.
Cribbit, maybe. Yenda's going to stay here, but Cribbit also gets up to follow with you. Jackson puts out an arm and says, I'm sorry, my little friend, but it is a one at a time. Cribbit.
Here you go.
Yeah, Cribbit says, but this one is little.
There will be room.
Is it okay if he comes in? He will just observe. I look at Cribbit.
Cribbit looks pleadingly at Jackson, and Jackson shakes his head and says, I am sorry, my little friend, but though you may not take up much space, it is simply not done.
I pat the, like, I'm assuming I'm sitting like a log or something. Yeah. I pat the log next to me, and I'm like, prophecy's about you, not for you, Cribbit.
Cribbit. Cribbit looks at you, Hector, and says, write down.
Yes.
He tears a page out of his book and hands it to you.
All right. I grab that. Yes, of course. Thank you. Yes.
Cribbit sits down. He's got like an impatient air about him.
I shrug like, yeah, that's the way the cookie crumbles, buddy.
I'll walk into Madame Eva's caravan.
Digital Audio wirkt, weil dieser Moment dir gehört. Kein Scrollen, kein Wegklicken. Nur du und meine Stimme. Ermöglicht durch KI. Echt durch Nähe. Genau diese Nähe lässt Marken im richtigen Moment ankommen. Beim Kaffee am Morgen, unterwegs oder einfach beim Durchatmen.
Digital Audio. Näher geht nicht.